All right, there's someone here.
Okay, good to see you. Good to see so many good friends. I haven't seen you for a long time, so it's a privilege to be here this afternoon. I have been asked to come on every first Sunday of the month, partly because I'll be conducting the communion. So I was thinking about what I should preach. During this time, you know, that I'm going to spend time with you. So I finally decided to bring you a message called "Let's Choose the Jesus Way." This series is based on a song. Hopefully by now you know. The song is called "The Jesus Way." So you have a few months to learn about this song. And I hope, you know, as you listen to the song again and again on YouTube, you will find that it is not only a good song, but also it is something that, you know, there's something in the lyrics that we can all take time to reflect or to go deeper to find out what does it mean to do things in the song. So I'm doing sort of like a little risky business. Usually sermon is based on passages, but for this time, this sermon is based on a song. But what I'm not doing is, what I'm not doing is to comment on the how and the why. I'm not going to provide any comment. The reason why I chose this song to base my sermons is because there's something inside that really inspired me. That sort of caused me to do a little deeper study to some of the things that I saw in the song. For example, if you have time, look at the lyrics, at the sort of like the center of the song, there are a whole bunch of things. Like he said that, "I choose surrender, I choose to love. Oh God, my Savior, you'll always be enough. I choose forgiveness. I choose grace. I choose to worship no matter what I face." So that is going to be what I'm going to base my sermons on, okay? Today is just the beginning. And starting next month, I will go into each of the sentences I just read to you. For example, I will talk about, you know, what does it mean to surrender? Why do I choose love? You know, there's so many things I can choose. Why choose this? Why not choose this? So I spend time to go a little bit deeper into some of what this person wrote in the song. But, you know, when I think about why I do this, is because there's a verse taken from Acts chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. This is what the Bible said. "But just as what after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, okay? And spoke only one thing, and spoke about the kingdom of God. But you will receive power," going down to verse 8, "when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This verse, I believe many of you have read it so many times. You understand inside and out. But today I want to bring these two verses up on the screen to you, to your attention. I want to remind you, you know, after Jesus, he was being resurrected. He spent 40 more days, 40, on earth. He could have just went home straight, but he chose to spend 40 more days to spend time with his disciples. And when he was spending time with his disciples, he could have said so many things, but he only chose to say one thing, one topic, and that topic is the kingdom of God. Later on, he reminded his disciples to wait on the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit finally came on them, they would be Jesus' witnesses. And in his time, it would be in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In today's, it would be in Mississauga, in Ontario, in Canada, and the rest of the world. So all of you who are Jesus followers, or you call yourself Christians, Jesus, his last word is, "You will be my witnesses in where I place you." So we are all Jesus' witnesses, okay? And the question we need to ask is, okay, I understand that, so far so good, but the thing is, how am I supposed to witness? What am I supposed to do? So we came up with so many different things. But this song, go back to the song, The Jesus Way. The heart of this song talks about surrendering, love, talk about forgiveness, talk about grace, talk about worship in whatever circumstances that you may face. So these things, to me, as I listen to the song, these things becomes the how, okay? We already know that we're Jesus' witnesses in where he places us, right? Now, let's go one step further. How? How are we to do it? Well, I'm going to borrow some of the lyrics of this song and share that with you. This is how. And the song called The Jesus Way. God doesn't just give us assignment and leave us dandy, you know, hanging, you know, don't know what to do. God is a good God. When he gives us an assignment, he will always provide the how. Okay? So, with this series, what I try to accomplish is, we already know that we are Jesus' witnesses, according to Acts 1, 3, and 8. So this series is going to go one step further, equipping us, teaching us, reminding us how. We're going to take time to look at those things in the months to come. Now, I want to move on. Since this is the beginning, just to prepare you for that, we want to ask the question, what is the Jesus way? Okay, I'm going to give you 10 seconds. You can think about it on your mind. What is the Jesus way? Do you understand what is the Jesus way? If I ask you, what is the Jesus way? How would you answer that question? See, I do the similar mental exercise as I'm asking you to do. And one of the things that sort of came up to me right away is what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said, "I am the way." So when we say today, what is the Jesus way? Basically, it's what Jesus represents. Okay? Now, there are a few more things about this Jesus way. If you take a sort of quick look at the life of Jesus, you will probably see these markers in his life. Like, for example, when we say the Jesus way, we're talking about a life led by the Holy Spirit. A life led by the Holy Spirit. Not long ago, let's go back to here. Take a look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. What happened after Jesus got baptized? When he came up out of the water, these are the words. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And there's a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." A life full of the Holy Spirit. A life blessed by God. You see that word? God the Father saying things audibly to confirm his pleasure on his Son, Jesus. The Jesus life is not just a life full of the Holy Spirit. The Jesus life is also a life blessed by God. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to have enough blessings so that you can bless others? Or do you want to live a bumpy life or whatever life you want to, whatever adjective you want to use? There's no one. I don't think there is anyone here say, I just want to live a bum, to be a bum, right? All of us want to be blessed. And if you want to go one step further, you may want to bless others too. Not only do you want to be blessed, but you also want to bless others. This life, this Jesus way, is a life about being blessed by God. We need to be blessed by God, so that we can bless others. You can never give anything that you don't have. Remember this. You cannot give what you do not have. So if we are to bless others, the first thing is we need to be blessed first. We need to have that experience being blessed by God. We know what it means. Then we can share our experience by blessing others. Okay? So the Jesus life is a life blessed by God. One more thing. Let's go back here. The Jesus life is also a life with purpose and meaning. And the verse that I have in mind or on the screen is John chapter 14, verse 4. Again, Jesus' word. I have brought you, God, glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. That is how Jesus glorified God. That is how Jesus found his life of purpose and meaning, by completing or finishing the work that God has given him. Do you know how you can live a meaningful life? By completing what God has given you to finish. God gives each one of us different assignments. The assignment for all of us here is not the same. It's going to be different because there are people that you know that I don't. There are places that you go that I don't, right? There are neighbors that is part of your neighborhood that I don't. I'm not part of. You understand what I'm saying? So we are very unique in a sense, even though we are human beings. But the thing is, we live in different places. We go to different places to work. We meet and get to know different people. And the assignment is catered to uniquely how you're being placed in where you are today. So if you want to live a life of meaning or purpose, if you want to glorify God, just discover what God wants you to do and finish that job that God has given you. By doing so, just like what Jesus said in here, I have brought God glory on earth. How? By finishing the work that he gave me to do. All your life, you are to discover these assignments. And you are to encourage to finish it so that by doing so, you will be able to glorify God. You will be able to come to your life and say, I have lived a full life. I have lived a life of meaning and purpose. All right? So what is the next question? What is the value? We have already touched on the Jesus life. Now we ask one more question. We want to know, is there any value to do this? What can I get out of it? You know, you want to say it very, very plain. What can I get out of it? Okay? So what is the value? Well, let me refer back to the song. There's one part of the song. It says, I choose to surrender. I choose to love. Oh God, my Savior, you'll always be enough. When we do things God's way, you will always be provided for what you need for the task. You will always be provided. God will always provide for what you need before he will ask you to do something for him. Always, you can count on that. Even in difficulties, you can always go back to him and say, God, you said this, and I'm running against this difficulty, this giant, and I need your help. I need you to provide me with what I'm able to conquer or overcome this giant that stands in front of me. Okay? Another way of saying that, there are two different ways of saying this. One is from another composer. His name is Scott Wesley Brown. And this is what he said in one of his songs. He said that, because when I wish you Jesus, I wish you everything. If I wish you Jesus, I could have wished you good luck. I could have wished you, you know, you'll be able to have 649 or something or whatever. Of course, Christian, we don't do that. I just make it for fun. Okay, so we may have asked God for a lot of things, but usually when we ask for things, we forget one thing. We forget the giver. We ask blessing, we ask for money, we ask for promotion, we ask for a good pay job, you know. All these are stuff, right? But when was the last time you asked God, bless me with you, Jesus? Do you know why you need to ask God to bless you with Jesus? The psalm said, if I wish you for Jesus, I wish you everything. Always go after the giver, not just the stuff. Ask God to bless you with himself. If Jesus is with you, then all his blessing is going to be with you as well. Because he has all the things. Sometimes we look for the stuff, we forget the giver. But today we are saying that we go after the giver because when Jesus is with me, I'm blessed anyway. So another way of doing that, another person say similar thing, but from a different perspective, is a person called Hudson Taylor. Probably you have heard of that. He's long dead. He was a missionary to China. And at one point of his life, he said that God's work, done in God's way, will never lack of God's supply. God's work, okay, but done in God's way, not done in your way, not done in my way, okay? God's work, done in God's way, that is where the Jesus way comes in. What happens if we do God's work with God's way? We'll never lack God's supply. This is a formula that you have to always remember. We Christians, we like to go for creativity. And there is a room for creativity. But always remember, when God gives you an assignment, he always teaches you how. He doesn't just give you an assignment and let you go free and just do whatever you want. No, that is not how God works. But very, very sadly, this is usually how we Christian works. God, you just give me an assignment and let me go free and I will do it and I will do it to your satisfaction. That is not how things go. That is wrong. After understanding the assignment, we also need to ask one more question. How do you want me to do it? What kind of thing you provide for me so that I can get the job done? And if you ask those questions, and if you do things according to God's way, according to Hudson Taylor, what will happen? You will never lack of God's supply. If you don't believe me, you don't have to believe me, you can go home and check out a book, you know, the biography of Hudson Taylor. Look at how his life was like. He said this statement, but what was his life like? You know, go home, check out a biography by Hudson Taylor or a biography about Hudson Taylor and take a look at this person's life, his entire life, how he put this principle into practice and what happened to him. Do you know an organization called OMF? Anyone? OMF? OMF was founded by Hudson Taylor. Okay? So he didn't just give a good statement. He practiced that statement all his life. His life is a testament to what he's saying to us. God's work, done in God's way, will never lack of God's supply. And you're welcome to check his life out. Check out his life. Check out his biography. And see if this works. Okay? All right. Another thing. So many things here. Their values. We take a look at two passages. One taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. Many of you know that. Talking about how Jesus humbled himself. What is the point of humbling himself? What is the outcome? What is the end game for Jesus humbling himself? If you take a look at the line in yellow, verse 9. After Jesus has humbled himself to the point of death. That is the end game. That is the result. Verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Today, when you pray, do you end your prayer with Jesus' name? Do you know why you always end your prayer in Jesus' name? Part of the reason, not the whole reason, part of the reason is already here, explaining to you. Because that name is a name above every name. Why? Because Jesus humbled himself. to the point of laying down his life. And God raised him, not only raised him from death to life, but also made that name, the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. That's why today when you pray, you always end your prayer in the little sentence, in Jesus' name. Because that name is above every name. All of us have to bow before that name. Is that powerful? Is that great? Okay? That is the value. That is what happened when Jesus emptied himself, humbled himself, and God raised him and put him on the highest place. Nobody in the universe can top Jesus. Jesus is the most powerful being. He's the most powerful God that you ever encounter. One more thing. Well, you may say, well, Jesus, of course. Now, what about me? Well, there's another passage here taken from Revelations chapter 3, verses 9 to 10a. Take a look at it. This is what John said to this church called the church in Philadelphia. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet. Acknowledge that I have loved you, since you have kept my command to endure patiently. We need to do things similar, not exactly the same, but principally speaking, similar to what Jesus has done before. We need to be obedient. We need to be patient. We need to endure things patiently. And what is the end game of all doing all that? Well, so that people will have to fall down at your feet and acknowledge that God loves you. That is what happened. If we apply the Jesus way into the way we live our life, into the way we relate to one another, doesn't matter whether the person is Christians or non-Christians. Those are the value why we want to take time to look at this, the Jesus way. Okay? Now, there's one more thing. We cannot overlook one more important item in this is all these things that we're about to study, all these things that we're about to go deeper, they are hinges on one important thing, and that is, I choose. I choose. Okay? If you have time, you can start counting the word I choose in the song, the Jesus way. I have done that. There are 16 times I choose in the song. I choose this, I choose this, I choose this, okay? So, the little phrase I choose is very, very important because we're not asking you to follow this blindly. We're not pointing a gun at your head and ask you and force you to do what you don't want to do. All these things that we're about to share with you is based on whether you choose to do it or not. You decide, okay? I don't decide for you. I cannot force you. I can only force myself. But I can share with you the content of what you will get, you'll be getting yourself into. And after understand all these nitty-gritty things, you make the choice. How's that? You make the choice to decide whether you want to do this or you don't want to do this. The wonderful things about human life is when God created us, He has gifted us with a very, very powerful or potent weapon. And that thing is called the ability to choose. You can choose. Every day you're exercising that power. You can choose what to wear. You can choose where to go. You can choose where to eat, right? You can choose which friend you're going to hang out. You can choose which friend you're going to talk to on the phone. You can choose which person you're going to text and which person you're going to include in your social chat group or whatever. You're exercising this kind of thing every single day in almost in any circumstances. Can you just imagine one day if God took away that ability to choose, what miserable life you will experience? God doesn't want robots. Okay? God doesn't want slaves. Slaves have no choice. Okay? You don't know what slave is. I don't, because we don't live in a slave-free country. But what I can tell you is, If you're a slave, you have no choice. You just do what people tell you. Some of you at home, you may feel like that this way because this is exactly what your parents are doing to you. You do it. I say it, you do it. You cannot talk back. You cannot do anything. You just do it whether you like it or not. You feel like a slave. Well, that may not be a good example. But the thing is, slave does not have any choice, have no rights. So God doesn't want you to be robots. God doesn't want you to be slaves. God doesn't want you to be anything subhuman. He chooses to love you. He chooses to come to you. So in the same way, what God is waiting patiently from you is you will choose to love him back. You will choose to go to him. Everything is done by your choice. You choose it. You can choose not to go to him. You can choose to sin against him, which happened in Adam and Eve's case, right? They chose to disobey God. But even their disobedience did not keep God from loving them. Our sins, even though God will have to work through his son Jesus to deal with the sin problem, but our sins has never stopped God from loving us. Not even a minute. God chose to love us. And God is patiently waiting for us to choose to love him back. That's why what you choose, the ability to choose, is on your court. You decide what you want to do with this Jesus. You decide whether you want to walk with Jesus every day or not. You decide whether you want to pray to Jesus or not. It's all up to you. It's your choice. But let me remind you, though, every choice comes with consequence. If you choose to do a certain way, certain thing, then certain outcome will follow along. Every choice comes with an outcome, a consequence. So whether you choose positively or choose negatively, there's always going to be a related consequence. All right? So the Bible is here to teach you, to equip you, to give you wisdom so that you can learn to choose wisely. And as you choose to do things wisely, there's going to be related consequence or consequences that will happen to you. But no matter what happens, you get to choose. Just like God gets to choose to love you, you also get to choose to love him back or otherwise. So that is what we are talking about, the Jesus way. I understand that we have not yet entered into the content, the meat part of the series, but that's okay. I want to give you enough information. I want to give you enough background so that as we enter into the content of the series, you will be able to, appreciate more. And during these few months, I encourage you, you can always go to YouTube, just type in the Jesus Way. You can type in the Jesus Way lyrics, learn to sing the song. Today is, I can only hear Andrew sing the song. But hopefully next month I hear more people singing the same song. And by the end of the series, we can all know how to sing the song. And not just knowing how to sing the song. The most important thing is as you sing the song, as you reflect on the lyrics, you say, I agree with what is being sung. I agree with the content. I agree this is the Jesus way. I agree if I use this to apply that into what God is asking me to do, then I will never lack of God's provision. That is my hope, and that is my prayer, that at the end of the series, this is where we will see ourselves end up. Okay? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this afternoon. Thank you that we're able to begin this series, even though we're just in the background area. But we certainly appreciate your love for us and not only saving us, teaching us, giving us assignments, but also providing what we need so that we can accomplish the assignment with your help. You are a good God. You never leave us hanging. You never leave us alone. When you ask us to do something, you will always provide the way because you love to bless us. You love to see us experience you in your greatness, in your mercy, in your grace, so that the experience that we have with you will continue to transform our life and continue to make our relationship better and firmer and more consistent. We need to have a consistent walk with you. And you know all that. You have been there. You know the way. And now you're teaching us, you're guiding us, you're providing us whatever we need so that we can learn to walk that way, just like what you did when you were a human being on earth. Father, we pray that you will continue to give us understanding and also help us to be faithful in following you so that we can discover greatness, we can discover satisfaction, we can discover meaning of life, purpose of life, as we live through our earthly life with your help, with your guidance, and with your wisdom. And we commit our future messages into your hands. Pray that, Father, you will use each of these messages to inspire us, to give us wisdom, to give us something to practice, to give us something to go after, so that by obeying you, we will continue to be blessed by you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to have communion. Can we have the communion slide?
Andrew's MacBook Pro.
So before we have communion, I'd like to share a hymn with you. The lyrics is on there already on the screen, okay? So either you can sing the song. If you don't want to sing, you can just look at the lyrics, okay? So that is going to be the message of today's communion. That is something that I have done for some time now. Instead of doing a whole bunch of talking, I share song with you, because in many ways, song is so powerful. As you look at the lyrics, as you look at the melody and you sing along, may the song remind you of certain things that you need to know before you come and take the communion, okay? So the hymn that I have chosen is called Crown Him with Many Crowns. How many of you know how to sing that song? Not some of you. Well, as you hear the melody, the memory may come back, okay? So either you can sing or you can meditate, okay? Look at the lyrics. The lyrics is the message of this afternoon's communion.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for receiving us in your house. And now we're about to celebrate communion together. Thank you for making the communion possible for your children so that we can continuously remember what you have done for us. This afternoon, we're being reminded by the song that you are the Lord of Lords. You're the King of Kings. You deserve many crowns from us because you're the Lord of love, you're the Lord of peace, and you're the Lord of time. You are a good God. You love us way before we even hear about you. You have already accomplished the gift of salvation when you were hung on the cross through your suffering and your shed blood. We rejoice because 3 days later, God raised you from death to life. And today, we are worshiping a living God. You are living. You are breathing. You are walking with your children. You are guiding us. You are providing what we need. When we are discouraged, you provide comfort. When we are down, you provide a way out. When we don't understand what happened, you come and embrace us. Even though we may not have the full picture in front of us, but your love is so deep and so wide. And there is no doubt that we need to keep coming back to you. Lord, as we being reminded of your great love, Lord, it is not just something that has happened and the effect is still continue on, but it is because of what you have done for us. Because of the gift of salvation that we all share and experience. Lord, we want to come back to you and we want to say thank you. We want to appreciate your love. We understand that we still have a long way. Perhaps we're still struggling here and there. But we do pray that, Lord, in whatever state we come to you, you will find a way that we understand to minister to us. If we need encouragement, may you provide encouragement. If we are in doubts, may you surround us with your love. May you love us once again so that we come to realize that we are fully loved. If we are struggling, may you use your word to guide us. If we're in a good place in life, help us not to forget to keep praising you. If we are sick or we were struggling, we can always come back to you for prayer. Lord, no matter what life circumstances we may be today, there's always a way for you that we can come to you. So may we come to you for whatever things that we need so that we get satisfied, so that we will be encouraged, so that we leave with a grateful heart, knowing that, Lord, you not only understand us, you not only receive our prayers, but you also leave this place with your presence. You go with us. Go back to where we came from. And as we continue on with a new week, you will be there for us. You will be there to provide whatever that we need because you want us to experience you. It is in that experience that we are being encouraged, that we are being surrounded, that we are being hugged to close to you, and we can experience that love once again. We thank you for the many attempts that you have done in each of our lives. And we're sorry for rejecting you for whatever reasons that we may have. Please come to us again and minister according to each of our unique needs. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come. Maybe let's come from the back. Okay, come down to the middle aisle and then take the bread and the cup and go back to your seat until we all receive the bread and the cup. Then we will take the bread and the cup together, okay? If you have not received Jesus into your life and if you have not received water baptism, you don't need to come up, okay? This is for a Christian. This is for people who have received Jesus into their lives. Also for Christians who have received baptism. So if you are none of this, you can just remain in your seat. Just you know, you can just have a silent prayer. You can just watch how things are done. If you have questions about how to believe in Jesus or you have questions about baptism, communion, you can ask questions, okay? I wish you can direct your questions, and I'll be there to answer your questions. Okay? But for those of you, you know, get ready. We start from the back. Come down through the middle aisle and pick up a cup. I will hand the bread to you, and then go back to your seat, standing. Okay? When you go back to your seat, keep standing. Okay? All right.